News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is a leading expert on intermittent fasting and how it can help you lose weight and gain muscle. He has a master's degree in applied human nutrition and has years of experience in the supplement industry as a research analyst and development manager. Welcome to the show, author of the book Eat, Stop, Eat, Brad Pilon. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Hey, Brad. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Oh, doing great. You know, so many diets out there available. If people don't see immediate results, I've learned they get discouraged and they quit. Your Eat, Stop, Eat plan's pretty quick. I think you mentioned that, you know, start burning fat in as little as 24 hours. How can it achieve such quick results?
Well, it's actually a pretty simple concept. You are losing weight every minute of every day. With every breath you exhale, you're losing weight. And the issue most people have isn't one of weight loss. It's one of how quickly they replace that weight. With Eat, Stop, Eat, you take a 24-hour break from eating. It can be 24-hour-ish hours.
Right.
And during that time, your body does what it does best, and it helps you lose weight. So in a 24-hour period, you can look to lose anything between, you know, a third to two-thirds of a pound of fat, just like that.
Great. Now, I know you advocate the intermittent fasting. First, the old stigma of fasting is, of course, it takes you into starvation mode. Your body burns the fat as fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But when you return to normal food, you store more fat as a protective mechanism, and the weight comes back sometimes more. What's the proper way to fast so that doesn't happen?
I like short periods of time. What I like with people when they're fasting is to think of it like an occasional break from eating. So you're not challenging yourself to see how long can I go without eating. What I want you to do is just every once in a while, take a break. And that's the way your body can utilize the full advantage of fasting without all the negative adaptions that happen when you fast for long periods of time.
Got it. And I guess the key would be don't eat if you're not hungry. A lot of people just eat because in front of the TV or their mind says, all right, it's dinner time, it's time to eat. If they're not hungry, should they just eat?
That's the thing. Yeah, with fasting, you kind of learn that so much of your hunger is wanting, right? If the food's in front of you, you're used to eating at a certain time of day with certain people. Fasting helps break that habit. You know, when you finish breakfast and you say, okay, I'm fasting. And an hour and a half later, you're like, oh, I really want a snack. You stop and think, wait, I'm fasting, and why do I want a snack? I literally just finished my breakfast. So it helps kind of untrain those nasty habits that keep people eating even when they're not hungry.
So give me an idea. Is it certain days on eating, and then you have a day where you fast?
I like once or twice a week. And the reason I like that is it's flexible, right? So if you and I were to start fasting today at 3, we'd finish tomorrow at 3. We essentially, it's a 24-hour fast. We sleep through the hardest part. We're missing, you know, two big meals, three at the most.
Right.
And the cool thing was, let's say we decided that we were going to start fasting today, and a big meeting came up, and we had to go up for dinner, we would just move the fast to a different day. It's way more flexible and way more applicable to most people's lives.
And I think because your body gets used to knowing, it's so short that you don't have that, we talked about earlier, the rebound, correct? Because it's such a short increment.
Yeah, you're not teaching your body, look, there's no food coming for a long time, so when food comes back, I want you to store it. You're just basically taking a break. And that's sort of the key message of the whole thing is every once in a while, just take a break, let things cool off, let yourself reset, then go back to eating the way you normally would if you're eating like a responsible adult.
Yeah, so that brings another point. When you are eating, do you have certain restrictions of counting calories, certain foods to eat, not to eat?
You still have to be responsible, right? So when you're fasting, it doesn't give you permission on the days you are eating to pretend you're a kid the day after Halloween, right? No one gets away with that for a long period of time without gaining weight. So in between your fast, you're eating in a way that would maintain your body weight. And I don't have any preference if you're vegan, paleo, omnivore, you name it. Just as long as you're eating in a way that would normally maintain your weight. And what you're doing is you're letting your fast take care of the weight loss. So on the non-fasting days, you're not dieting. And that's kind of the trick of the whole thing. You've taken your dieting and squished it into one or two days a week instead of that monotonous every single day diet so many people do.
Right. Would it be easy, I guess, on a day off, a weekend probably? Because I would imagine it's not a good idea to, you know, to exercise or exert yourself when you're fasting.
You'd be surprised. What you want to do when you're fasting is you want to be busy. The last thing you want to do is sit around on the couch watching TV, not eating with nothing to distract you. So you want a day where you're kind of busy going about your business, whether it's cleaning the house, whether it's kind of work meetings, what have you. You don't want anything that's crazy exertional where it's a very big, your annual review, and you're a little stressed out, you don't want to add the stress to fasting to that day.
Right.
But, you know, just days when you're busy, when you're moving around, your mind is off of it, that's when you want to be fasting.
Got that. And again, so you're not really advocating stay off the meat, eat vegan, it's whatever's in there. You know,
well, yeah, I've got two 24-hour periods a week. I have you low carb, I have you no meat, I've got you no calories because you're not right. eating anything. So for the rest of the days, whatever's kind of working for you best is what I'd like you to keep on doing.
Got it. So on those fasting days, is it 100% no food? Are you recommending water with lemon?
What's taking place? Plenty of liquids. Yeah, just no food. I want you to be as calorie-free as possible. I want you to be drinking your water. I like I think you said it before, a general rule of thumb, a half ounce per pound. Right. That would be your minimum on the day you're fasting, because a lot of your water comes from the food you eat. Obviously, if you're fasting, you're not eating, so I want you up a bit above that. But other than that, as calorie-free as possible. A good rule is if you can go without, go without. But if you absolutely can't go without, if you're one of those people who you can't make it a day without your coffee and your coffee must have a little bit of cream in it, then okay. If you can't go without, don't. But if you can, then you go without.
Got it. What about people listening that are hearing you saying, eh, it's genetics, my parents are big and so am I, and it doesn't matter what I do. Is there still hope for these folks?
Yeah, you know what? There very well could be an absolute genetic component to it. Still doesn't mean you can't do your best to try to control what you can control, and that's where fasting comes in.
Yeah, and I've learned that just because somebody has something in their genes doesn't mean you can't turn them off by actually creating a lifestyle and eating habits. So I think people blame their genes too much.
You do your best with what you have, right?
Exactly. That makes sense. Yeah. What about like gaining weight after menopause? Do they see results? I know it's tougher to with the pounds packing on after menopause.
It's the exact same rule. It's tougher, no question. You know, they have more of an uphill battle, but there's some things that are in their control, and that's what you take advantage of. And you do the best with what you have.
Got it. What about when they're off the fast and they say, "All right, I want to eat a little bit better," and that noshing between meals? Is there something you recommend? Is there certain lists that do and don't grab?
The main thing there is you need to know what your hot button foods are, right? So there are some people who can have pretzels, they can have a handful, and that's fine, but they can't go near chocolate. They have one piece of chocolate, and they're having all the chocolate. And then other people, the reverse. They can snap off a piece of great chocolate, eat it, and be satisfied, but you put them in front of a bowl of chips, and they cannot control themselves. You need to know which is which for you specifically. You know, you can't read someone else's list of hot-button foods and assume that's your list. So learn what foods you can have in the house and which ones you absolutely cannot, and that goes a long way to kind of keeping you eating responsibly.
That makes sense. And I guess it would also be the day of fasting, the day before, don't go grocery shopping.
Yeah, don't go grocery shopping when you're fasting, because then you kind of start planning for when the fast is done. That's no good.
That's great. And then, so one last thing, do you recommend, a lot of protein when they're not fasting?
A lot from our standards, from an academic point of view, I like what we would consider high, but 100 grams a day, what most fitness enthusiasts would consider actually mediocre, right? But I think based on the research, averaging around 100 seems to do a lot for satiety and for supporting muscle growth and muscle repair. I don't see a need to hit those 200, 300, 400 gram marks that bodybuilders are doing, but I do see the argument that maybe that 60 gram recommendation we get from local governments is perhaps a bit too low for people who are athletic or trying to lose weight.
Great information.
Thank you so much. To learn more about the Eat Stop Eat program, go to eatstopeat.com. To sign up for his newsletter and blog posts, check out bradpylon.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brad Pylon. And for our daily health tweets, you can follow us at Dr. David Friedman. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. We have more great show coming up. If you missed any of it, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.